You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My armpits are going to be literally drenched by the end of this show.
I'm so happy to see Greg that, like, as soon as I saw him, I immediately was like, whoa. I feel better.
Yeah.
Doors open.
He's here now after his appearance on the Tony Kornheiser show this week.
They should bottle up Greg. I put it as one of my topics. They should bottle up Greg and serve it to every sick person.
I love how confused my dad looks right now hearing Billy's voice and not seeing
him. I'm in the corner. They moved me, Greg. I'm in the corner.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Billy.
He's right where he always is, Greg.
No, I'm by where Lewis usually sits.
You see him over there in the corner, right, Greg?
There's a repositioning.
He's right over there.
He's there.
Don't worry, Greg.
I don't see him, no. Billy's my security blanket. I need him here.
This
yeah,
one,
me too. Same.
This one promises. He's here. Don't worry about it. This promises to be a messy one today because Greg Cody is already complaining about how swampy it is in here. We don't have air conditioning.
Quite the visual.
Whittingham's down. Jessica's out. Billy isn't feeling very
Dan,
well at all.
You stop that right now. We have enough. I'm Eric Spolstra of this show. Yeah. We have enough to go on. No excuses.
Well, they didn't have enough.
We have Greg Cody here.
Jess has been out for like a month. I mean, let's be honest.
Tony is back, and he's wearing Hawaiian garb.
It looks fantastic.
Feels good to be back, boys.
Heroically.
It's good to have you back, Tone.
And Mike Ryan has returned. I'm sure people want his many Miami Heat thoughts. I love any number of things that I'd like to deconstruct about that strange series, including the fact that the Miami Heat had not lost a home playoff game and went 1-3 at home. 1-3 at home, and not just that, Stugatz. Something that got distorted at the end with all of the injuries and everything else. The team that it was at the end with Jimmy Butler going for 40 all the time, and it's all on Jimmy, it's Jimmy, it's Jimmy, we're all going around Jimmy. That's not the team that was the one seed. That's not the team. That's not how they played all season. It was necessitated by the number of injuries, but when it came time to choose between culture and Jimmy, they went Jimmy because the way they were playing against Boston was just like, Jimmy bail us out or Jimmy don't, we're going to lose. And that's not how they got there. And if you told me that that's how they'd be playing from the argument with Spoelstra and the clipboard, I would have said, how would we arrive there? And they arrived there through injury. But Mike, people want to hear from you on how it is that you're feeling about this, because I will not make any enduring assessments of they got Kyle Lowry to be a missing piece, and then, you know, he went missing. Like, you saw that he was injured, and they
He owes us one, man.
Man, that sounds like a pretty enduring take. The one that you don't want to make any snap judgments on the worst postseason guard of all time? I do. I mean, regardless of his health or not, he puts that up. He puts that up routinely. This is not unexpected with Kyle Lowry. Was never crazy about that. I know that I was being hyperbolic last week and a lot was bit, but the one thing that I've maintained is I do not trust Kyle Lowry in the postseason. I have no reason to. And that's even with him holding an NBA title in his hand, because Kawhi Leonard, who couldn't jump over a phone book, was the best player in the world that time. Kyle Lowry just doesn't make any sense to me for this team. He doesn't. Flatly never want to see him in a uniform again. He'll be curious to know if he can fit in it next season.
Okay, you're going to body shame him as well.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
How does he pass a conditioning test? You don't think conditioning is a part of what happened to Kyle Lowry?
Okay, before you go too far down this emotional path with all of this stuff today, I will simply tell you that, again, Eric Spoelstra, top 15 coach of all time, said, no, I ride with Lowry at the end. I'm going to see if he can pinball, get me a free throw here and there. I don't trust Gabe Vincent that way. And nope, I'm sorry. 60% of Kyle Lowry for game 7 at home is going to be more than Vincent, more than Caleb Martin, more than anybody. I'm going, like, Spoelstra made that decision. Spoelstra decided at the end to tie himself to that anchor.
He did play well in the second half. They needed a third guy to step up. It was Jimmy and Bam versus the Celtics.
Kyle Lowry played well in the second half?
Comparing to how he played, Mike, in the first half of the rest of the series, he was decent in that second half.
Look, Mike Ryan is right when he tells you Kyle Lowry is one of the worst postseason players ever, and healthy or not healthy, he'll give you a 3-for-13 or a 5-for-15. Or just, look, he wanted Kyle Lowry to make them a little bit better than the team that Adebayo stopped at the rim in the bubble. The Celtics surpassed you this season, and while I'm looking at it and saying I will not make any assessments based on if Jimmy makes that shot, you're one kind of team. If Jimmy doesn't make that shot, you're a different kind of team. But, Cody, you were there, I found myself saying at the end of that, well, somebody's got to lose this series, and also I'd give Jimmy Butler Eastern Conference Finals MVP. I would say everybody
over Al Horford, huh?
Yes, over Al Horford slightly.
Well, a quick comment about Lowry. It wasn't just the injury. He's not a good defender, and the metrics say that. His defense is taking charges, which he does very well. I think he took 25 charges, third in the league. Other than that, he's not quick. He's a turnstile. Guys run right past him, and the analytics say that. And it wasn't, and compounded by the injury. He was a liability out there. And Spoelstra saying, I'm going to ride with Lowry, that's full of loyalty and culture, but it just didn't work. It did not work.
Well, beyond that, though, they played Oladipo a bunch as well, which is not the team that got there. And I will go back to saying, Mike, like, you've been very emotional for a while. Some of it bit, much of it not bit. Like, some of it, the volume turned way up on some things you don't like about this team. But you've seen a regression because they lost Game 7 at home, and all I see is the same team playing differently at the end because they had to, because Jimmy Butler needed to be that guy while they were all trashed and injured. And you cannot trust Kyle Lowry if you want, and you could do what everyone else is doing. Let me hero and Lowry for Donovan Mitchell, because I'm entitled and I deserve to be right at the rim at the end of the Eastern Conference Finals every year. And if I lose, switch it up, blow it up, get the last missing piece out of here, get me a new missing piece.
Well, I do think that they need to make some alterations to the roster, just because the Eastern Conference is going to yet again improve from the last time they made it to the finals, and it's going to improve next year. You got to imagine Brooklyn's going to make some improvements to that roster. Middleton's probably going to be healthy next postseason, and the Celtics are obviously going to improve. Miami, I'm not reading too much into the fact that it was all Jimmy or anything. Remember when they made the finals 2 years ago, they had a different leading scorer every postseason series. They can play loads of different styles, and what the defense gave them was, hey, somebody here, be a hero, and it was Jimmy Butler. I'm fine with the shot. I'm good with how things happened. For the most part, there are guys on this roster that I never trusted in Bam, Kyle, certainly Duncan. They have a decision to make with Tyler Hero. He's a valuable trade asset. If they're looking for roster improvements. And I liken this to, and I've seen Heat Twitter do this a lot, the Heat team that lost to the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals, also lost at home, also hampered by an injury to Dwayne Wade, that rib injury. What did Pat Riley do when he was that close after losing a Game 7? He totally reshaped the roster, and it worked out in 2006. And I think they're very close, and I think Jimmy's, although he's great and a very puzzling player, we all admit that that window for him to be able to do this has to be dwindling some, so you owe it to that window to make some alterations to the roster.
I don't think the Heat lost because of injuries. They won the most games that they've won in pardon me.
You okay?
They won the most games they've won in 8 years, despite injuries, all season long. Butler's missing games. Lowry's missing games. Bam is missing games. They lost because they couldn't shoot threes. Their three-point shot just disappeared from them, which is why Jimmy Butler took that last shot, which was so controversial, playing the result. If it had gone in, he's the hero and should have taken the shot. But it was because they shot threes lousy. That's what won them all season long, and then all of a sudden they couldn't shoot threes. Even when he was healthy, Tyler Herro was shooting 26% from three land.
Miami was the best three-point shooting team by percentage in the league, and in that series, they were 196 of 626. That's 31.8%. That's basically the best three-point shooting team in the league was basically Westbrook the entire series. One of the, like, that is... That they were able to almost overcome that and injury. To me, this is why
I shot to win it, man.
This is why I will do nothing but salute this team. I will not criticize this at the finish, not any of the choices made. It was two steaming trash piles with both teams tough. Both teams wanting it. Boston having to earn it to get past them because this conference has been Miami's. And they had to fight off Jimmy Butler, and Jaylen Brown at the end is watching Jimmy taking that shot, and he's like, oh my God, we're at the center of one of the great collapses ever, and it doesn't go in, and thankfully he missed, and Jaylen Brown, and they get to be celebrated instead of like chokers. That one would have hurt for a while. They coughed that game away. Jimmy takes that from them, but at the end you get the rare thing in the culture, Mike, in the culture of sport. Nobody's killing Miami today. Like, some people might take out a Lowry, but you're like, no, you know what? You guys won while losing, and nobody ever gets to do that anymore. You earned it. You went to Boston in game six. You're all broken. We see that you're not physically right. Tyler Hero's not playing, and everyone's hurt, and they earned something. At the very end, they did not earn victory, but they earned the respect you were craving all season because there is no criticism or condemnation of Miami today.
God. They don't hang banners for respect. I mean...
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a stark 180 departure from the coverage that we had seen entering that game seven. You can't be saying Boston is overwhelming. You can't be crowning Jason Tatum and then all of a sudden blame Miami for choking at the end. So I'm glad that there was at least some self-awareness there with the media. The reason why people came away feeling about the Miami Heat the way that they did was because literally everybody picked Boston.
Right.
The coverage was all about Boston. For three games of the end of that series, we were previewing Golden State Boston in the NBA Finals. So if they all of a sudden started turning around and killing Miami, that would have been really weird.
One of my favorite stories in the middle of all that nonsense was Udonis Haslem talking about the breaking of the code, Draymond Green, yeah. Because he dared to think what all of us did, which is that Boston would win game six. Why? Because Jimmy looks like a limp torso out there. 9 points, throwing himself at Robert Williams, can't get his neck above Robert Williams' armpits for two games, and you're like, oh my God, they're incompetent. Oladipo's hitting the shot clock with open jumpers. They can't shoot at all. This is over. I've never been more surprised. We didn't even get to celebrate it. I've never been more surprised by a Heat victory ever. I've never expected a Heat victory less than an important time. I thought they were going to Boston and wouldn't physically be able to do shit, that they would just get smothered and lose by 30. They brought this series to the end of it. Nobody wants to celebrate that. I understand. You lose, you feel like shit. I'm sure you all turned off the televisions yesterday, right? You did one of those. It's been years since you did one of those where you turn off the television because you don't want to see the Monday coverage of your team losing again and again.
We were robbed of celebrating a game that was better than LeBron's game in Boston. That's how good Jimmy was in game six. It was a shock to everyone, Mike, that he was able to pull that off.
That this season, I'm not kidding you, that when at the end of game seven at home, in a game that I have no earthly idea how they were close at the end of any of the quarters, like every time it thought like it felt constipated, Kyle Lowry's gonna try and get a foul from somebody, see if he can hit one free throw, because it's just first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, you're grinding, the crowd never gets into it. When Max Strus made it 94-92, that is the single loudest thing I've ever heard in that building that wasn't the Ray Allen shot. Because everybody believed right there, oh my God, this might be the center of a giant collapse and one of these stories you tell your kids about. And if Jimmy hits that shot and it's all championship or bust, here are my balls. Like, if Jimmy hits that shot, it would have been louder than the Strus shot because everybody in the middle of it would have been, how the hell are the Miami Heat leading in this basketball game?
Well, that Strus shot should probably put them up one. We saw one of the strangest NBA calls in recent memory, where 3 points were taken off the board several minutes after the fact. That happens occasionally, but their logic and their explanation for
not minutes later.
Puzzling.
You rarely see that,
like,
it happens.
Quarter.
You rarely see the Heat are down 8 in one of these straining games, and now they're down 11 because they've gone to a review that's not clear that they should have overturned it, and they take the Heat's 3 points away 7 minutes later, or
and,
whatever it was.
And the logic behind the review was they weren't sure if it was a 2 or 3. Cut back to, well, it was so not a 2 that he might have even been out of bounds. And it's one thing if that's called on the court that he was out of bounds, because we've all seen the replay ad nauseum by now. Does it look like there's a shadow? Does it look like there's a sliver of light? We can all agree that whatever was called on the court shouldn't have been overturned by the still that we've seen. But what was called on the court was a 3. It's a perplexing call. It's not why they lost. I love the 3 that Jimmy Butler took. If you look at the analytics, the probability of it, Their win probability was at damn near 70 if he hits that 3. Where if he goes for 2, maybe gets fouled, goes to the line, hits 2 free throws, it's still below 40%. I understand what you're telling me about Jimmy Butler and his 3-point shooting statistics. I'm done trying to figure out Jimmy Butler in the postseason. I want that guy taking whatever shot he sees fit.
But can we do this, though? Are we allowed, in whatever the dissection and the critical autopsy is on the losers, am I allowed to be surprised and delighted and not take for granted that a team that I saw was injured trying to do it with Oladipo and mismatched injured parts against a Boston team that was also injured, that was playing, a Heat team that was playing unlike it had all season because this is what was necessitated, that team would take this season to is Strus's heel down or not down, and the probabilities at the time of decision making, hey, Jimmy, are you going to make the smart play here? Is it 47% or 41? You're tired. You've played the entire second half. You've played all the minutes, and you're like, you know what? Let's go. I ride right here, 1 minute left. I've got no legs. I know I'm going to be short if I'm going to be short because I've got no legs because I played every minute of this basketball game. Here's the bet. All or nothing. Miami, you take it? Jimmy's balls, all or nothing. You take it? Yes or no?
You take it. Are you asking for permission for a moral victory? Is that what you're doing?
I am asking.
You want a moral victory?
I am asking officially. Wow. I'm asking for America to see what it is that I saw in this Heat team that Mike wants to dismantle because he trusts no one.
Are Jimmy's balls actually out? You keep saying he keeps taking out his balls. Like, is that a literal thing in this scenario or no?
It should be a uniform violation if I've ever
heard. Yeah, it really should.
By the way, speaking of uniform violations, we're just allowed to wear Kobe wristbands now? Like, what's that about?
Yeah, that was a tough look. I don't know. It's a lot looking at me, Larry. But look, he's a Kobe fan. He was trained by Kobe one off season.
You guys can't do this. You guys will not do this.
I'm just asking. Is that a uniform violation? I mean,
don't do that. Hold on, Billy. You haven't been in.
As much as I know, the Celtics colors aren't purple and yellow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just asking the question. I will follow
you down this path in a second, but I also have an undercurrent
in
here.
Message.
There's an undercurrent of rebellion happening here.
You shot 9 of 21. That's honoring Kobe.
Greg Cody. Greg Cody is saying in the shadows that he's secretly happy that the Panthers and Heat are done because
he didn't have
another week of workload in him as people drop around here, as people get sick, as people start hurting. Greg Cody was secretly happy. He was rooting for himself, not surprisingly, and not to have to work. But Billy, did you enjoy as that Jimmy Butler shot goes up? I need to know at the dark recesses of your soul, as someone who loves the Heat but also kind of hates all the Heat talk around our show, as that shot goes up, how did Billy honestly feel? What did you want?
I said, that's a dumb shot. As soon as I go, what are you doing, man? There's time. Why are we doing this? And then he missed, and I was like, well, that's that. It felt like they might come back, huh? Like, it seemed like this is going to happen. And I was asleep. I woke up. I was like, whoa, how's this happening? Because, like, with 2 minutes left, they were down by, like, 10 or something. I was like, this game is way over. And then they have everything going for them, and then Jimmy just decides, you know what? Forget the tie. While Al Horford's running backwards, let me just go for the win, and it didn't work out.
We can
criticize that, right? Like, we can say that was not a good shot. Like, because it feels like we're not allowed to say it was a bad shot.
My daughter did. I mean, you want to talk about a bandwagon fan? My daughter and my wife. My daughter says Jimmy's got to go for two there, and then my wife says if you're going to shoot a three, it's got to be Max Strauss.
That's exactly. Okay. Look, I am with you guys on everything being said right here. Billy, thank you for being counterculture in this manner, because
I'm just asking the question.
Billy, you're right.
At the
end of that game, you are right. All of America had an opinion on how Jimmy's legs felt, and we knew better than Jimmy what the correct, prudent, mathematical decision was. And it probably was mathematically smarter to go try to get an Al Horford foul. Although in this series, frankly, anything rushed at Horford or either Williams, no thank you. Like, then anything going forward, I'd rather, if Jimmy wants to be far away from all that, I'm good with it, because I don't want Al Horford getting the block that Stugatz will make him Eastern Conference Finals MVP for a play.
He was robbed.
But that is a huge part of when you talk about that play. He had Al Horford backing up, but Al Horford's very good at contesting at the rim without fouling. Jaylen Brown was also collapsing in the paint. What does that leave you? If Jimmy decides to not go up and bail on the play, this is a transition offense, not half court, by the way, because you don't want Miami operating in the half court. You know what you got? A wide open 3-point look from Victor Oladipo. Oh, and I don't want to hear the sound that ball makes.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Don Lebatard.
What did Stugatz just text you, Mike? While Bob Costas was talking very eloquently about the things that are producing anxiety in America and beyond, what did he text you?
Yeah, during your enlightened conversation, I got a text from Stugatz that said, Todd Gurley Ravens, to which we all had to search for what he meant, because there's no report saying that Todd Gurley signed with the Ravens. He was just texting me about a visit Todd Gurley is presently having with the Baltimore Ravens.
According to Adam Schefter, I think it's a one-year deal now, Mike, so he gets a chance to prove himself again. Right, it's a big deal, Mike. Todd Gurley to the Ravens.
Year prove it. I love a one-year prove it
deal.
Stugatz. It's just, so he says it was Adam Schefter. So I look at Adam Schefter's Twitter account, couldn't find anything. Jess went and tracked down the tweet. Mm-hmm. Here are the red flags on this account. One, the handle, Spots Centra.
But you realize you can read that very, very quickly and think it's...
Mistake number one. Mistake number two, there was no check mark. It was that thing that people do to try and fool people of the white circle that kind of looks like the check mark, but is not. Sign number three, the avatar... It's the SportsCenter logo, but in fairly sizable print above it is the word not. All the red flags, and yet Stugatz is still going. Todd Gurley, Ravens buddy.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Again, I'm just going to keep stopping you guys, because when it comes down to math of that, like that season would be, well, yeah, we might have done something different, but goddamn. Like, he was playing for the lead with 20 seconds left in a game they had no business winning in a series. It was super weird. I mean, when do you ever, have you ever seen a team go undefeated in the postseason at home and then go 1-3 in 7 games at home while the other team goes 1-2 at home?
No, it was a strange series. I don't have an issue with Jimmy deciding to take that shot. It's fine. He was going for it right there. Like, he didn't want overtime. The Celtics still could have come back and won the game in regulation. I'm okay with that shot. Like, Jimmy Butler has earned the right to pull up and take that three.
My point is, how can we not all be okay with that shot, given what we just saw in that series? I love that you're
right. Well, you're a percentage guy. You're a numbers guy. You would say the two is the better option there. No, you would, Dan.
No, Stugatz. What I'm saying in that situation is it's my breaking point on, I'll bleep the math. This guy's got to know. This guy knows better than I do. And fine.
How many times does Jimmy Butler have to prove you wrong this postseason for you to say that was a good shot?
And there's no disputing that if that's the shot you're going to take and miss, and in the courage of sports, right, as we talk about load management and everything else, Jimmy's got no rest. Jimmy's on a bad knee. Jimmy's going to take that shot for the season. Hey, sports fans. Do you believe in that? Do you believe in the idea of that? That Jimmy's got no legs left, but here, one shot for the season.
That would have been their first lead of the game.
Yep.
Okay. He wasn't signing up for more basketball in a game they hadn't led. He was going to win it. And I do love that the NBA history came out already and there was videos. Remember what happened before that Kawhi Leonard game winner over Joel Embiid that inevitably helped win the Raptors that title? Jimmy Butler had the same exact play, transition, and he drove to the cup, and he got it too, and he would have been the hero, not Kawhi, but Kawhi hits that shot. That was probably going through his mind too. Yes, a couple more years have gone by, more tread on those tires, but he wasn't going to sign up for Kawhi Leonard in the corner again.
My point on loving how this season ended is, do you know how hard it is in 2022 to make the commentators say, you know what? You died on that sword, the sword of sports, the sword of, like, I could parse the percentages here on like what I would have done against Al Horford. Yeah, because I'm that good. But Jimmy Butler decided after no rest in the second half, this is what he's going to do. And we give him the courtesy of, yes, Jimmy, you've earned it. Okay, that's what it takes to earn it. And the Heat die like the way that you want a king to be slayed. Like, that's if you're going to have a season end, I'd rather have it end that way than losing to the Warriors in 5.
I love that the argument that ends this season is, well, Jimmy Butler, he's only scored 82 points in the past 2 games. Why are we going to trust him to take the winning shot of all people? He's the exact guy you wanted taking the winning shot. But let me say one more thing, because, you know, everybody talks about Jimmy taking the last shot and Strus's nullified 3. What hasn't gotten enough attention, and it's part of why the Heat shot 31%, is Boston's defense. Oh, my God. The Heat defense, the Heat culture starts with defense, right? It's what they summon when they're behind by 8 is defense. Well, Spoelstra, I think for the first time all season, in that series, looks at the other team and goes, wow, they're better than us at what they at what we do best.
Without Robert Williams.
Without Robert Williams.
I would have liked to have seen this straight up, and with everything I've said that might have sounded like Heat homerism, I think the Celtics are better. I think healthy Celtics are better.
If Tyler Hero is healthy, you don't think that's enough to get the Heat past?
No, I think healthy,
because they needed a third scoring option. They couldn't get one. They had Bam in a couple of games, and Bam was great in game 7. They needed a third option. They didn't have one most of the time.
Enough with the great in game 7. It was very clear what was available to Bam, and it required a decisiveness. It was fake aggression from Bam in that game. Yet you have Horford on skates.
You didn't trust him like you did all season, mid-range little floaters. Like,
guys, it was a game 7. He had 25 points, 11 rebounds.
He fades away every time he gets in, and he doesn't have the size advantage over him, but what he has is a quickness, and it's a decisiveness that he didn't display. We know Bam's limitations, and frankly, if they made it to the conference finals, if the team were healthy enough, I actually think Bam would have had, if they made it to the NBA finals, Bam would have had a good series. He would have been able to display his special skill set. But come on, with Bam was great in Game 7.
So I just want to establish the rules here for the show. We're not allowed to say that Bam played a good game, and we're not allowed to say that Jimmy Butler's shot was a bad shot.
No, you can't do it. You are allowed to say this, and Billy, I continue to say that, yes, please, give us more context for what we're allowed to say and what we're not allowed to say.
I mean, I'm trying to learn, because you just said you'd rather them lose in the conference finals than lose in the NBA finals, which I don't understand. Why wouldn't you want them to make the NBA finals?
I just said that if I know my season's going to end either way, if you tell me, if I feel like, of course I'd prefer to win, but if you tell me I've got both results in hand, which do I prefer, losing five to the Warriors in the finals or lose that way one shot for the series, the way that I'd like a season to end is the way that the Heat's season ended, if you must choose an ending.
Ooh, hard disagree. I want that banter.
No, why?
Yeah, I want that banter advantage over Boston. We were robbed of one of the all-time choke jobs. Can you imagine if Boston lost that way, where the only time they trailed in the game was the last 11 seconds? That would have been incredible. We were robbed.
He's right. He's right.
I know we don't. I know we don't want to do a deep dive and blow the. We're usually more patient, but this team is close. This team, for the first time in a long time, heads into an offseason with assets that fans are willing to part with because Bam wasn't there. I was always saying Bam's your trade chip, but maybe now some fans see the deficiencies there. Hero, he wasn't here this series. And I do think he would have helped make a difference, but he wasn't available to you. Now are you able to part with Tyler Hero?
And when he played in the postseason.
Are you, Mike?
And when he played in the postseason, because of how surgical these teams have been about learning how quickly to expose a defensive weakness, whether it's Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero, numerically, when Tyler Hero was healthy, they were much better when he was off the court than he was on it by, like, big numbers.
Oh, the coaching in this series was phenomenal to watch. I had so many smart people explain to me what was happening. You had two teams on offense that were kind of limited. It was basically best player do something here. And we all learned together that Jaylen Brown can't dribble worth a shit. And every half-court possession. That's why that first quarter and Kyle Lowry was so... He shot this team in the foot so badly at the start of that game because they got so many easy buckets. Nobody was getting anything in the half-court because you want to know what the strategy was every time each team was half-court? Let's find Strus, who's not even a bad defender, but let's go at him. Let's find Derek White, who is not a bad defender, but we got to go at him. Why? Because it is the weakest link that they have here. It was really smart basketball, despite the fact that the final scores you might point to and say was ugly. I really love the chess match between the two teams.
Mike, can we use this as yet another teaching moment for Dan? When you and I get excited about George Hill at the trade deadline, okay, and then you have Derek White, and we get excited about it, and we tell you, and he's going to the Celtics, and it's a missing piece, and then he has the series that he has. Don't make fun of us anymore. Those deadline day deals, Dan, are big deals. Sometimes they are deals that help you win an NBA championship.
I don't think he was on the court when the game was being decided, and Derek White did make a few shots. Yes, I don't really understand what it is you're trying
I'm trying to teach you a lesson. It might seem like a small move at the time, regular season. No one's really paying attention. But then there Derek White is in a big game six, a big game five, a big game seven, hitting big shots because that's what Derek White does.
I mean, since when?
Since he joined the Celtics.
Since game six.
Okay. Ian Horford should have been co-MVPs.
There was, I don't know if it was last Smart series man. Or this one, there was a time where I wondered, why is Derek White on the court? Like at various points during the playoffs for anybody, and he hit some floaters, and if that's what you want to say is the difference between the Heat and Celtics this year, okay, fine. If that's
just
what,
don't poo-poo it next time.
No, but if that's what all. You want to tell me is, yes, Stugatz, if your breakdown today wants to be the reason the Celtics are closer to the throne than the Heat is Derek White, nice you move. Can have that take. It is all yours.
Nice little piece.
I don't really think the two teams are that close, though. And this is not an exaggeration. I think if Robert Williams is healthy, we all saw how much he was laboring in Game 7. And despite that laboring, Miami just didn't have an answer for when he was on the court the entire time. If that guy,
he's terrifying.
He's
I don't
unreal.
I did not notice whatever it is that Stan noticed when Stan said, and I met Grant Williams' dad at the game, who was very thankful. I guess Grant Williams is coming into money soon. He's like, spread that word. But Stan says my son is the best defender in the league. I'm like, well, I'm confused because I'm watching defense. I'm like, yes, the Celtics are good. And I know why Robert Williams is great at defense, but I'm like, okay, and show me why Grant Williams is good at defense. He's 6'6 and blocky. That rarely gets to be best defender in the league. But Stan says when he's watching, he sees best defender in the league.
They have great defenders there. And I don't think it's – I know Tom caught a lot of shit for it, but – and it might have been the injury too. But outside of Derek White, the weak – and he's not a bad defender. The weak spot on that defense was the defensive player of the year. And Jimmy went at him. And Jimmy had a legendary – a game for the ages
scored
going at the D-boy.
15 points on just him, the defensive player of the year. Scored 15 points. It's the most anyone's ever scored when isolated on Smart. And they're stripped down when the Heat needed to save its season. It was Jimmy Butler against defensive player of the year. And we got a cool resurrection of the Heat season from there. If you ask me, what do I think is going to happen in Game 7? I think everyone's honest response before that game was like, who the bleep knows? Who the bleep knows? Like, if the Heat had gotten out up in front 33-17, it's not like you would have trusted that lead. Like, there wasn't a lot of difference between these two teams.
Such a bad, sleepy start, man. You can't give a limited offense like that so many easy buckets, and they just couldn't stop the bleeding. And it inevitably was a difference in the game. Miami wasn't able to overcome that early deficit.
Mike, the difference in the game was one Butler shot that we argue about the math on or one Strus replay.
Like, no, but Mike's saying it's not coming down to that if they don't get off to a bad start.
They missed free throws and a bunch of other things. Like, there are any number of reasons. They shot nothing from three. They weren't any good from three. And at the end of the game, somehow, in a game I didn't feel they had any business winning or being in any of the quarters. I'm like, them scoring is too hard. The Heat trying to go and score against these people seems much harder than the Celtics trying to score against them. I know their defenses are very good, but to me it seemed obvious this isn't about just made shots. Boston should be winning this game at every turn, and somehow the Heat is within 7. The Heat is within 11. The Heat is within 9, and now they're shooting for the game.
Miami does have a big problem on its hands this offseason, because if I tell you, just who do you trust? Based on what you saw this postseason, Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, and Max Strus missed a million shots this series, but I still think you trust him, or Duncan Robinson and Kyle Lowry. Because even if you point to Kyle Lowry and Duncan Robinson, you say, I trust him a little bit more. The money that they're making does not make up for the gulf in trust. It just flatly doesn't. You'd rather have... Personally, I'd rather have Gabe Vincent and Max Strus out there in the conditions they were in.
This is the. Can you guys, seriously, Stugatz, I understand. Yes. It's sports radio. You pivot on a bounce. But if what is going to happen fairly immediately is I want to pause on everybody and say, man, it's hard to get here and super injured and you're going to make assessment, is a day afterward, first minutes at the microphone, Mike Ryan is trading all of the pieces he distrusts. Hey, it's Hero. It's Duncan, it's Lowry, can I get Donovan Mitchell? Like, it doesn't take but minutes before you crawl away from the shot too, and how do I make it better right now, this minute? There's an eagerness and an avarice in it that I'm like, can we pause for a second and just celebrate what just happened before we get there?
No, Mike doesn't want to celebrate anything. He is saying, hey, we have tradable assets that other teams want. Let's go improve the roster. And I'm good with that. I don't care. Do it right after the game. Do it a couple of days later. They have tradable assets. Hero is one of them. Bam might be another. And Mike wants to improve his roster, and that's the way to do it.
There's fish out there, Dan. You see Kyrie? We don't know what's going on there in Brooklyn. And then KD says he doesn't want to be in Brooklyn if Kyrie's not available.
Embiid's flirting around. I mean,
exactly right. He keeps tweeting about the Heat. I mean, imagine a scenario where you have Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, and Kevin Durant on this team next year.
Wow. Yeah, get them all. Why not get them all? But something has to be done, is all, because the reason it's so remarkable that Miami barely lost on a kind of one shot, perhaps, is that Boston's better. There's no way Pat Riley with Truth Serum goes, man, I wouldn't rather have Boston's roster than mine right now. And so if you're Riley, if you're Spoelstra, you have to do something about that.
Chris Cody just whispered something to me as Greg is willing and Mike are willing. They're both willing to make the assessment that they would not have made if the Jimmy Butler shot goes in. Like, it really is on that rim is the difference in the analysis, because I don't believe either of them would be saying, say, the Celtics are better if that shot goes in and the Heat make a stop at the end. I don't think any of this is the analysis today.
In fairness to Mike, I think he is saying the same exact thing, even if Jimmy hits that shot.
All right. I mean, Stugatz,
he's been saying it already.
You think if Mike Ryan is right now playing Golden State, lunatic Mike Ryan, if he hits that shot to bury Boston in the single greatest collapse that franchise has ever known, you're going to tell me that Mike's going to come in here and argue Boston was the better team? Get out of here.
Listen,
don't bleep yourself. That is not what would have happened.
It'd be odd, and possibly the first time in the history of sports radio that a guy is trading pieces before they play in the NBA Finals.
Absurd.
But I believe in Mike. I believe this is how Mike feels. I do, regardless.
It's flatly how I felt about Duncan, Kyle Lowry, and Bam. I wouldn't have done it before the NBA Finals. I still would have said Miami beat a better team. Because Boston would have just absolutely choked that one away, despite the injuries that they had to deal with. Boston was better than Miami. I knew that going into the series. 100%. And entering game 7 on your home court doesn't matter.
All right, listen. I will not allow you guys with the 100% bullshit.
Yeah, 100%.
Please. No.
110%.
I would have written.
120, yeah.
There is not 100% anything here on better team. No. When there are injuries all over the place, and I too believe that Boston was better. But why are you playing the games if we're just going to say, well, if this shot goes in and this one doesn't go in, I know who's better 100%. Get out of here.
No one's arguing that side. I would have been very happy. I would have also been very self-aware in knowing that Miami on home court in game 7 beat a better team. Best team doesn't always win the title.
Right. So, had Butler's shot fallen, I would have been very comfortable writing, what's remarkable here isn't that Butler's last shot went in. It's that Miami just beat a better team.
And is going on to the finals. I've been pounding my chest. Culture. That's what made up the difference.
Right.
Culture.
Home court, culture, all that shit.
Yeah. All that great
trade hero.
Yeah. I would have traded Kyle Lowry regardless.
Okay. During the game, he would have traded Lowry.
I don't like his game. It doesn't make sense to me. Why is he so bad in the postseason always?
It is the thing with Kyle Lowry where you appreciate his effort. You're like, he's trying really hard out there, but he doesn't do good things.
Doesn't. If he didn't have that personal 5-0 run in game 6, which was massive, I'll admit that. Everybody here, and we would have been gone in 6, by the way, everybody here would have jettisoned him.
He runs around like aimlessly. He does. Like, I mean, Dan, he just runs into people.
Okay, I
mean,
I will.
Things look, happen. Man, the ball comes loose.
It feels like he and Bam just do stuff do stuff.
Now, you guys, please.
Rolling around out there.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Billy.
Lacks focus, you know.
Billy, this is.
He could take a charge like it's no one's business.
Well,
this is where
I just need everybody. Like, it's just not reasonable. And you guys, you really
You're
don't.
Acting like we won.
You guys don't know where it is that some of your blind spots reside emotionally. Mike Ryan, Kyle Lowry, you cannot say, having watched this basketball team all season long, that the Kyle Lowry on this hamstring that I'm guessing would have had him not playing for like 3 weeks during the season, that Kyle Lowry is not what they thought they were getting. They rode the last bits of it into the ground, but that is no fair way to make an assessment on a clearly unhealthy player just because you've seen him do 5 for 14 in a finals game when he has been healthy.
Has he been healthy this season? He's 37 years old. He's making a boatload of money. His conditioning is always being called into question. I don't like this player. If you point to that stat line and you hold up another stat line when he had a perfectly fine hamstring in Toronto, there's not much of a difference there.
Can I just ask you as a human being, though, to make a fair assessment?
As a human being, I think he has a great smile. Okay.
Was he injured, yes or no?
Yeah. What,
are you making
But he's always injured.
Okay, but then if you want to trade that because it's a body that's likely to be injured, it's the bet you made before the season. It's the old man bet that Riley made, who always trusts one of these guys late. It's the old man bet of, I'm riding Dan Majerle into the ground the remainder of his career. That's the Riley way. Like, they sign up for it. Nope, the veteran guy who's been here a million times, I am not trusting. No, not Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent. Not when you trust five guys at the end, and not even PJ Tucker can get on the court.
Thunder Dan.
Yeah, that was a bummer about PJ. He was very, very clearly hampered by what was going on there. I understand Kyle Lowry was hurt. But great ones rise above it, and he's just not a great.
Oh, wow.
He's not.
No, he's not. He's Dan, it seems like you want to run it back with this squad,
You want to run it back?
Yeah, it's weird.
You want to run it back. Yeah. You think another year. You think that they're, next postseason, do you think this Heat roster is going to be healthy?
I will not object to you guys tinkering. I just am stunned that you're doing it this fast after
that series.
We don't
want to tinker. We want a complete overhaul.
And you want to push me into that show? And maybe we'll do. Man, we got all summer for that show. Like, I'm not doing it today. Like, for what?
Early bird gets the worm. Yeah.
I mean, yes, but the early
you want
bird...
to celebrate fourth place, huh?
It's weird.
Third, fourth, however you splice third, it.
How should I feel about it, Billy? Tell us how we should feel about it.
I mean, I think that massive overhauls need to be made. I was thinking about this, and I realize you guys won't like this, but I'm starting to think, like, are the Heat the Braves of the 90s? You know what I mean? Like, short of the LeBron years, is this the Braves of the 90s? Like, at best, maybe, you know? Like, always close, but no cigar, always missing a little thing here. Great regular seasons, but then come the postseason, there's just something going on, and I can't figure it out. They just can't get over the hump.
If they do it 13 more times, they will be the Braves of the 90s, yes.
No. So not even the Braves of the 90s, then.
I do agree, though. If you do
and
eliminate...
And Spo, you know? Yeah. Billy, are we sold on that?
Billy, you made a great point. If you do eliminate two of their NBA titles, I agree. They're the Braves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.